You, Dr. Denbo. Good morning, friends. What a wonderful, powerful time of praise and adoration to the Lord. You know, I love these moments together. And I know that you're here today just because I'm speaking. I understand that very well. None of you were required nor obligated, but thanks for not using one of your cuts today. But thanks so much for being here with us in chapel. I would love the joy of introducing my wife, my sweetheart, my girlfriend. Soon be 40 years of marriage. Linda, would you stand, please? She's right back here at the back. And and for those of you who may be wondering, all of those descriptions applied to the same woman. Just want to be very clear. I want to thank the administration of CBC for trusting me for a few moments with you. There's so many things on my heart that I would love to share because I realize that I'm introduced as a district superintendent. Sometimes I really prefer the description of a district pastor. But really, Linda and I spent so many years of our life in all phases of ministry. As your president shared, together in youth ministries back as district youth directors a number of years ago, almost 8 years that Linda and I invested there. Sometimes I'm not really sure who I am. I sometimes think I'm maybe one of the world's oldest youth pastors. And then there are other times that maybe I do serve as a district pastor, but when I come onto a campus, there's a fire that ignites within my bones. I want to just take just a few moments. That's really not a part of what I had intended to share to say. I am very thankful. I really am. I am very thankful to be a part of this fellowship that we know as the Assemblies of God. I have a value that has been based from many, many years of being a credentialed minister, so I make no apology. Frankly, if I thought there was something better, I would get out of this and join them. And I'm just being very transparent on my part. I have a real passion that you are the generation that will welcome back Jesus Christ. I have a commitment within my life that I believe this generation is the greatest generation, and I share that often in youth meetings and with our youth leaders. You guys can do so much more than I ever even dreamed of doing. It's in your hands. But one thing I would like to say, and I guess I need to be very specific, Mr. President, and talk to Oklahoma students for a moment. If Oklahoma is where you're from, and if God has placed His hand upon your life for ministry, nothing would please me more than for you to walk the stage of graduation at Central Bible College, already being a licensed Assemblies of God minister. And if you're from Oklahoma, I will do my best to make that happen. Now, if you're from other states, I guess I don't pull those kind of powers unless you want to consider moving to Oklahoma. But I feel that connected with this generation that I don't want you to come through Central Bible College and then look around and say, okay, now where to from here? I would like to be your partner and would like to enter into that relationship with you just as early as possible. Certainly by the time you've hit your junior year and then by the time you've hit your senior year, I want to know your name and your number And I want us to make that connection. Now, so much for my recruitment. Let's go to God's recruitment. Take your Bibles, would you please, to the book of St. John, the 15th chapter. And I am talking about an encounter with God, which, frankly, is God's recruitment method. So all of that ties together with what I wish to share. The 15th chapter of St. John, right in the big middle of one of the discourses that was delivered by our Master, he takes time to thoroughly discuss human relationships. And the central theme that he uses is found in the word love. He is expressing to his followers, I love you, you love me, you need to love one another. That's an old hat story that I think all of us understand even more and more, the necessity for a personal relationship. For none of us can make it on our own. In the 9th verse, Christ said, this is chapter 15, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Now that's kind of neat. It's all based on having love. But your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love one another. I love that passage of Scripture where Jesus is telling his followers, you know, frankly, you didn't choose me. Now, I realize there are a lot of theological implications that can be construed out of this passage of Scripture. Taken alone, it doesn't connect all the dots. Taken in context, it becomes a beautiful explanation of who we are and why we are at this juncture of life. This school stands for the slogan and the key of the call. I applaud that as a motto. But it's worthless unless it's personalized. We can put a big sign out here. We can make our promo that. We can talk about the call, but frankly, it means nothing until it becomes an impact upon our lives. And the only way that happens is through what I would call an encounter with God. It cannot come from a third-party source. It cannot come by simply saying, I think I will serve God. It won't happen. There are several places throughout the Word where we find direct passages that God uniquely laid His hand on people's lives. Now, I kind of wish this morning I had time for just some counseling sessions here with individuals across this place, because all of us have a different story. I have a different story. You have a different story. I have the microphone this morning. I get to tell mine. But we all have stories. There are things about my life I, to this day, do not understand. I can promise you, I did not wake up one day as a teenager and decide I was going to be district superintendent. Matter of fact, I didn't even know what disease that was. Church administration, the only thing I knew about church administration was the pastor of my Assembly of God church. And, you know, he was old and almost blind. I'm serious. When he would read his text, he would have his wife stand and read the text. And he would preach lights out. He was emotional. He was Pentecostal. He loved Bible prophecy. You know, I can still hear him preaching. I really thought the rapture was going to occur before I was 12 years old. Because he so instilled it into my life. And so today, I'm still looking for the rapture because of where I came from. It was just instilled. So we all have our stories. Somehow I thought I could take the Lord by the hand because many of you are PKs, MKs, lots of varieties of mixes that are here. I don't have that. My grandparents were pioneer pastors, but my folks were not. My dad was a deacon. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. I guess you could say I was born in the church because I was born on an oil field lease. If you know anything about oil business, out in the country in a pumper's home, the doctor came to the house to deliver me. Not a hospital, but out to the house. And assisting him with the delivery was my pastor's wife. And so as soon as I was born, she took the first blanket and wrapped me. No, it wasn't swaddling clothes. But I like to say she wrapped me in the Assemblies of God. I mean, you don't get much closer to that than the preacher's wife helping in the delivery. My story. But I moved from that stage of life thinking there's a place of leadership, there's a thing I can do, and there's a juncture of education I would like to move to. And honestly, during my high school years, I really thought someday I would wind up teaching music somewhere, probably in a college or university. So I pursued that path, all the time knowing that God did have a special call upon my life. Until the day came when I was actually offered a position at a junior college in the state of Oklahoma while I was completing a master's program and was offered the job without interview, sight unseen. The head of the department called and said, "We want you. If you will drive to my office tomorrow, there's a contract waiting for you to sign." I said, "Excuse me, sir, I don't know you. I mean, this is out of the clear blue. I have no idea who you are." And he said, "Doesn't matter. I've talked to all your references. No, I know you haven't applied, but we've had a last-minute vacancy," and he offered me the position I dreamed of. I said, "I need the night to think about it." "Well, okay," he said. "I don't know what to think," but that night we spent time wrestling with God. The next morning, about 9 a.m., I called his office and said, "Sir, I won't be there." He said, you're a young man. I'm offering you a college position as a first shot out." "Yeah, I know, but," I said, "I haven't been totally truthful with everybody because I don't know whether you'll understand this or not, but I'm also trying to be a preacher." He said, "What?" I said, "I feel like God has something for me in my life, and so I'm not coming." It was 3 months later that my wife and I took our first pastorate at the age of 23. You talk about great words of family counseling that came across that pulpit at the age of 23. But it's what I knew God had called. Now, how do we know things like that? Maybe it's as a child. Maybe it's as a child whenever young Samuel was taken to the temple and Eli was commissioned by God to be his mentor. He was so young, he didn't even know what was going on. You know, some folks say, is it possible for God to call you that early? Well, I think he kind of did that with John the Baptist. While his mother was still in the process of getting ready to have him, God was already at work inside the womb. It's a wonderful story of what God did in his life. I think it's in that process of David, who throughout the Psalms we have words like, I would rather dwell in the house of the Lord, on at least several occasions. I can think of three or four occasions in the book of Psalms where almost those same words come out. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I would rather be in the house of the Lord. It's like, it doesn't matter what else goes on. I just want to be in the house of the Lord. At that particular time, he was yet a kid and had not even ascended to the throne. See, some of you in this audience, it was at a kids' camp. It was at a youth camp. Some of you, it was in your bedroom. Some stories you haven't even bothered to tell others, but as I talk to you about it this morning, your mind goes back and you say, I remember. I didn't know what God was doing in my life. I was but a lad. I was but a boy. I was but a girl. And God laid his hand on my life. But there are perhaps some others who can definitely tell of a bush that Moses encountered in his contact with God. Man, hey, I'm sorry, folk, but I have prayed for a burning bush in my life. You know, I'll be very honest. I used to ask God. I remember riding out on the lease where I grew up on my bicycle, and I said, oh, God, make one of these bushes burn. Never did. I practically wrecked my bicycle trying to find a burning bush, but it wasn't there. And yet God was saying in here, I've already lit the fire. I'm speaking to a group of young men and women today. God's already lit the fire. It's international. I preached in the month of August, the General Council in Kenya. I watched with excitement as almost 200 graduates walked across their stage to receive recognition. And it was such an exciting time. These were almost entirely men. There were some women in the group who had completed 5 years of Bible study through an extension program offered by the Kenyan Assemblies of God. They already had to have an active place of ministry before they could even enroll. So most of them were already pastoring a church. They walked across, received their recognition. And then I witnessed something I will never, ever forget. Those Kenyans, I had finished preaching. They had a party. I would see groups, and I finally surmised it was like from a local church. And it was their pastor who had made this accomplishment. I watched one pastor. He must have been 6'6" tall and skinny. But he had a bunch of guys get around him and pick him up and hoist him on their shoulders. And they started dancing and pounding tambourines and jumping up and down. And I'm telling you, I was so excited because I saw fire burning. I want to tell you, CBC, God hasn't put the bush out. He wants to ignite it in your lives. The power of the Holy Spirit wants to grasp a hold of you and say, come on, you can do it because I've laid my hand upon your life. Or it may well be that not only is it from a bush, but maybe it's from the back end of a boat. Peter, James, John, Andrew, they were professionals, not professional preachers, professional fishermen. They knew how to fish, where to fish, when to fish. They knew the trade. But I'm telling you, they never fished at all until Jesus came along and said, I want to make you fishers of men. We have that beautiful passage where after his resurrection, as they were there, and he spoke and he told them to launch their nets on the other side of the ship. And the miracle that happened after they had fished all night and discovered nothing. I want to sound a word of prophetic utterance in this audience today. God wants you to be his arm extended, his voice outspoken. He wants to enfold this student body into a place that you may have said, well, I started out this way, but God said this way. He told his followers in my text, I called you. Called you. I love walking up to one of our preachers in Oklahoma, and with the history that I have with many of them, I've heard words like, you know, Pastor, I remember what you said to me when I was in camp. And I've stood there, and to be real honest, I didn't remember anything I said to them during camp. But as they stood and began to recount it, serving today in the country of Taiwan is a young lady by the name of Fairy Ryder. Well, she's young to me, but to most of you, she would be older. She's been a missionary for some 15, 20 years now. It was at a youth camp. My wife and I were there. We were preaching the camp. It was a discipleship camp. And this little girl, 15 years old, was weeping uncontrollably during the altar time. She was a PK. She was the last of a family of, I think, about six brothers and sisters. And her sister, she had twin. They were twins. And so they were born simultaneously. The youngest, kind of after mom, she thought through with the family. And these two twin girls came along. Fairy was crying uncontrollably, and my wife walked up to her and hugged her and consoled her. We knew her as a PK. And I still remember her announcement to my wife. She said, I don't know how it will happen, but God has called me to China. And my wife said, that's great, honey. It can be. And she said, no, you don't understand. Mom and Dad would never hear of it. The baby. Fairy has chosen to never be married. She has now given her life almost 20 years to the mission field in Taiwan. And I think back on that camp down in the hills of eastern Oklahoma, when a 15-year-old girl said, God picked me. I would really love today to line you up before me and be like the priest of old and pour some oil on your head and say, and you young man, and this is, and you sir, this. And you, young lady, and, you know, I could wouldn't it be great? I mean, some of you today, if I could just do that and tell you who you're supposed to marry and
where you're supposed to go upon graduation. And, you know, well, boy, you would be standing in line with me until 6 o'clock this evening waiting to get your word. I don't have that, but I know a man who does. I can't do that for you, but I'm telling you, students, be it the bedroom of the prophet as a boy hearing the voice of God, be it the midst of a fishing expedition where you think you have all the answers, but you look and you see a form, and it is the Son of God. Be it a bush that explodes for no reason, be it an emergency, be it an event, be it a call, God wants to have an encounter with you. And you better be sure, especially if you feel that God is leading you into a path of full-time service, I beg you, know when, where, how, why God called. For there will be times when you'll need to come back to an altar at CBC. Or there will be times when you need to go back to kids' camp and stand outside the tabernacle where you felt it. Or there will be times you need to go back to the old place where mom and dad used to pastor and find your way into the beginner Sunday school room of an old decrepit building. But say, I knew way back here that God put His hand on my life. Or it might happen next, before the end of this semester, sitting in the classroom. And it might be happening now. But wherever it is that God says, I've got a job, may you and I be quick to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. And then return to that same point of contact time and time and time again. For the calling of God is without repentance.